Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you, and welcome to this, our first Sunday in Advent. Won't be long until Christmas, and I know it will be very different to the way that Christmas has been celebrated in the past, but it is still Christmas, and we will be celebrating. I'm going to begin this morning with some notices, some information that would be useful for you. First thing is to remind you that Adrian's service of welcome takes place on Thursday. It's a Zoom service. If you want to take part, would you please let me have your name by tomorrow? Because I need to send the list to the UF office. So if you'd like to take part, send me your name and then I'll make sure that the Zoom details are sent to you for the service on Thursday at 7:30. You'll have noticed that we are celebrating communion this morning. For anybody who wants to take part, the invitation is extended to anybody who loves the Lord. And I guess the fact that you're at worship this morning is an indication that you love the Lord. You'll need to have your own bread and wine. If you have forgotten it, feel free to step out at some point to collect bread and wine or something else that you happen to have in the house that you can use to for our celebration. Wednesday morning in church, we are still having our services. We're still permitted to have up to 20 people. So if you want to book in to come along, please do use the booking line number. And I have a request for assistance. Over Christmas or before Christmas, we are planning to deliver Hope magazines and Christmas cards to the area around Homely Park and to Merrilee. This is a reminder that although we can't sing carols, although we can't gather to do that, the church is still remembering all the people that we usually meet at this time. If you would be willing to help with the delivery around Homely Park, it will need to be at 9:30 one morning, because we have to go in on the door entry buzzer. If it's Merrilee, it can be any time. If you would like to help, would you please let me have your details? We need a lot of helpers. We have 1,000 magazines and cards to deliver, and it would be great if you were able to help and to share something of the good news of Christmas with those that we won't be seeing in person. I think these are all the notices. It's really difficult to take it all in. I know that. If you can't remember something, just drop me an email, send me a message, and I'll help you with what you've missed. I want to read a few verses from Psalm 95 this morning. We've gathered to worship, and the psalmist says, "Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care." Now I notice that nobody, certainly on my screen, has got onto their knees. But it's an attitude, isn't it? It's an attitude of worship. We are here to encounter God. We are here to listen for his voice, and we are here to praise his name. As this is the first Sunday in Advent, we're going to light an Advent calendar, only it's being done through video. Let's pray. Lord God, we give you thanks for this day when we can gather to bow down and worship, when we can set aside all distractions and focus on you. We thank you that we can do this together through the wonder of technology. We thank you that we are bound together in Christ. We thank you that the Holy Spirit touches each one of us wherever we are and lifts our praise heavenwards. Lord God, we thank you for this season of Advent, this time of waiting and reflecting and focusing again on the miracle that Jesus came to earth to live as one of us, to fulfill your promises. Lord God, as we worship today, we come as we are with no pretense. We come to be filled by you. We come to hear your voice. We come to bring you our prayers, our concerns, and our joys. As we draw strength from you, may you be pleased with our presence and with our praise. Keep our hearts and our minds focused on you. And may this time of worship uplift us and fill us with hope. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our theme for this morning is hope. Let's sing together, "There Is a Hope." Colin is going to read for us our reading for this morning. It's Psalm 122. So Colin, we leave it to you.
In praise of Jerusalem. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the Lord's house." And now we are here, standing inside the gates of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a city restored in beautiful order and harmony. This is where the tribes come, the tribes of Israel, to give thanks to the Lord according to his command. Here the kings of Israel sat to judge their people. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you prosper. May there be peace inside your walls and safety in your palaces. For the sake of my relatives and friends, I say to Jerusalem, peace be with you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I pray for your prosperity.
Our theme this morning, as I've said, is hope. I'm going to reflect on that a little bit further before I touch on some of the content of Psalm 122 with you. Let's allow the skit guys to help us explore hope. There is always hope. How do you feel as you come to worship Sunday by Sunday on Zoom? Do you expect that God is going to engage with you? Have you experienced an encounter with him in all the months that we have been meeting on Zoom? How do you get ready for worshiping on Zoom? Do you rush in after being busy and chasing around the house and doing 101 things? Or have you prepared to worship before you even open up Zoom? Is there a sense of anticipation, even hope, as you come to worship? Is your hope this morning to encounter God in maybe a new or different way? Psalms 120 to 134 are known as the songs of ascents. They're songs used by worshippers making their way up to Jerusalem. Up to Jerusalem actually was physically up to Jerusalem because it was built on a hill. And some of these songs are filled with praise, and others come from a place of grief and sorrow. And they reflect how different people were feeling as they made their way up to Jerusalem. Not everybody felt the same way each time they made the journey. And all range of emotions were covered in these songs of ascents. But what was important was that no matter what somebody was going through, and no matter how they were feeling, they were making their way up to Jerusalem to worship. And their hope and their expectation was that they would meet with God in the temple, in worship. This was his holy place. They would encounter him. he would in some way impact their lives. 3 times a year, faithful Jews would make that journey up to Jerusalem, the times appointed by God for worship in the temple. And these psalms would be sung. They would be well known. They would have been well known to Jesus, who had made this journey to Jerusalem many times in his life. The people were bound together even before they entered the place of worship. And they were singing God's praise before they got to the temple itself. How does that reflect our preparation for meeting with God in worship? And it seems to me that's really important for us as we move towards Christmas, this time that we might call a holy time, when we encounter God again in a new way, when we reflect upon the birth of his Son. Do we prepare for it as we should? And that's a question I'm asking myself, not just you. Do we use this time of Advent, these days of preparation, as a journey? Do we use them to reflect on God's promises fulfilled by Jesus? Do we reflect upon our own relationship with God and aim to be at peace with him? I discovered a really interesting description of Advent. It appealed to me. I hope it might appeal to some of you, if not all. Advent is a season of minor chords. And for those of you who are not musical, those are the kind of sad chords. No, not the triumphant ones. So Advent is a season of minor chords. And as we wait, we replay the centuries of longing and yearning that preceded the coming of Christ. And in doing so, our joy in and our gratitude for what we have in Christ deepens and becomes richer and sweeter. And on Christmas Day, the minor chords become major and help us point to Jesus and his second coming, for which we wait. Why did that appeal to me? Well, I think it appealed to me because I think at the moment in society, many people are and have been living through a minor chord time for a long time. We have been down in spirit, down in mood, down in energy levels, all of these things. And we feel in many ways that we have been living through a minor chord season. And for some people, there is absolute desperation to get to that major chord celebration. And you'll have seen, as I have, the number of Christmas trees that are up already, the lights that are filling people's windows and balconies, and they're all over the place. People are desperate to get out of the minor chord feeling. But lights and trees and tinsel and all that is artificial doesn't really bring us real hope. It's cosmetic. It's on the outside. True hope has to be built on something far more. To hope is, according to the dictionary, to look forward with desire and reasonable confidence. It's to put our trust in someone or something. Let's go back to those travellers, those pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem. They had hope. Their hope was in God. Their hope was that he would send a rescuer, he would send a Messiah. Their hope was that he would bless them. And they based that hope on what they knew. They based that hope on scripture, on what they had been taught. And they based that hope on their past experience. and their relationship with God. The tribes of the Lord go up to praise the name of the Lord according to the statute given to Israel. That's what they were doing. They'd been given these rules by God. He had set the pattern, and in obedience, they were going and seeking his blessing. Their hope was that God would be pleased with their faithfulness, with their obedience. When we come to worship, we come out of obedience to God. He has called us to worship on this day, on a day set aside from other things. And today, as we share in bread and wine, we are being obedient to Jesus, who said, "Remember me as you drink this cup. Remember me as you eat this bread." And our hope is that we would know God's blessing as we honour him. And we hope to be equipped for whatever lies ahead, be it minor chord or major chord. And where is our hope based? Well, our hope is based in Scripture, on the promises that God made before Jesus arrived on earth, and the promises that Jesus made through his lifetime for our time. And our hope is built, I think, on how God has touched our lives in the past, and how he's blessed us and equipped us and inspired us and comforted us and consoled us. All the things that he has done give us hope that he will continue to do that and more. Paul wrote about the faith and the love of the believers in the church in Colossae. And he said that that faith and that love spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you've already heard in the message of the gospel that has come to you. Now, I love that picture. I know there isn't a box in heaven filled with hope that is open now and again and it all cascades out. But just that image I find hugely comforting. And some of you, I can see smiles as you think about that. A cascade of hope, which is what we need just now, but it's also what the world needs. Because hope is what we need to keep living through difficult and dark times. And it's not the superficial hope that's appearing in people's windows and doorways. It's that deep, sustaining knowledge that God is faithful and that the dark times will not go on forever. And ultimately, all will be well. It's the hope that says no matter what you're going through in this life, there is a better life to come, because that is what God has promised. And it's hope that allows us to come to worship, whether we are feeling high or low. It's hope that God will touch us wherever we are. Where do you need God to touch you this morning? Be honest. Tell God, because he knows, but he wants to hear it from you. And if you're living through minor chord time and you're finding it a struggle, tell him and ask that he would lift you. And you might have glimpses of major chords of joy. It's all right to see life in the minor key for a season. But we don't want that forever. And God doesn't want that forever for us either. And if we are having a time of minor chords, let's go back to scripture. Let's use this time of Advent, this minor chord time, as I quoted, and find God's promises and see how they've been answered. And some of you will be doing this with material, sofa groups, I think, have been given. But there's all sorts of material online, readings for Advent, that will help us through this time and inspire us and fill us with hope. When the pilgrims neared Jerusalem and got to its gates, they prayed. They prayed for the peace of Jerusalem, its security. It's the word shalom, and it means so much more than just quietness. It's about well-being and settledness, an overall sense of all being well, because all is well with the people and God. And only God can bring that shalom about. We can ask for it, but he is the one who can fill us with his peace. The pilgrims prayed for the peace of Jerusalem. That was their longing, that Jerusalem and its people would be filled with the presence of God. Paul prayed for the church in Rome. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hope, joy, and peace. It's really the shalom of Christ, the shalom of God. And through this season of Advent, we will be thinking about hope and love and joy and peace, and praying that God would help us see that in our lives, in the lives of those we love, in the church, and in the world. Amen. We're going to take time just now to go into our prayer groups, and can we maybe focus on that major minor chord? You may have things you specifically want to pray for, and please do. But just think about the major minor chord and what that means to you and what that makes you think about in the world today. We'll take time in our prayer groups, or if you want to use that time to be in the reflection group, wave your hand and Tom will put you into that group. And after we have prayed together, we will come back together to share in communion together. Let's pray. I feel that minor major chord has maybe touched a chord for a number of us this morning. And thank you for joining in prayer together. We come to this time of communion, which is sometimes regarded as being a sad meal, which I've never understood. Because although we are thinking about the death and the resurrection of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sin, there is the resurrection that we should be focusing on, not just the death. We have the minor and the major as we celebrate communion. What Jesus did for us, which was minor for him, minor chord, but it's major for us, because his death and his resurrection have opened the way for us to have a relationship with God, to know forgiveness, to know hope, to know that eternal life is promised to us. So it's not a gloomy meal. It's a meal shared with friends. And as I was thinking about that first meal, or the first celebration of communion, the Last Supper, I was thinking Jesus was with friends and they were chatting, and they would have been chatting about all sorts of things. We only have a snapshot of what they talked about through that Passover meal recorded in the Gospels. So there would have been all sorts of nonsense going on around that meal, all sorts of normal conversation, as well as the special content that Jesus brought, the new content. And I was thinking how appropriate that is for us, that we can chat at the beginning of worship. We worship, we're inspired, we pray, and as part of that, we share in communion together, each in our own space with whatever we have. God understands that. God knows, and God will still bless us, even though we are not physically together, sharing in bread and wine. He wants us to remember, and he wants us to be as one family. And as I look around at the faces on my screen, I give thanks for the love we share in Jesus. I give thanks for shared memories. I give thanks for deep love that binds us together. And I give thanks for the joy I feel looking at you. And Jesus feels that joy as he looks at us too. I feel quite emotional right now. And that's good, because that's love and that's God at work. God performs miracles each day. As we share in communion, there will be images on the screen. The words in black I will read, but you can read them too and read them out loud if you want, because you're all muted. And the words in blue were the ones that I had thought you especially might like to share. But really, it doesn't matter. It's that we worship God together. So if we can have the communion words on the screen, please. In faith and with hope, we come in obedience to remember Jesus as we eat and drink. Separated by distance, but united as the body of Christ, his church. We remember the disciples, uncertain and unsure, as Jesus gave new meaning to a familiar meal. As we eat and drink, we acknowledge our connection to them in faith. We give thanks for those who have celebrated this meal and have been raised to new life in Christ beyond death. We give thanks for the Church Universal, acknowledging Christ as head of the Church. We give thanks for Jesus' invitation to follow him and for his invitation to this meal. We come in need of forgiveness. We come in need of renewal and refreshing. We come as we are, with no need to pretend. We take time to bring our own prayers of thanks and confession to God. So in our own space, in our own way, let us pray. Thank you, Lord God, that you hear the prayers of your people. You hear our confession. You hear our need of forgiveness. You hear of our desire to turn again to you and to walk in the paths that you have set for us. Thank you that you know each one of us by name. And thank you for drawing close to us as we pray. May we continue to know your blessing and your peace. Amen. After thanking God, Jesus took bread, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you." He took the wine and said, "This is my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Bread and wine, symbols of faith. But taken as an act of worship and inspired by the Holy Spirit, they take on a significance and an impact that go way beyond symbolism. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would bless the gifts that we have brought this morning and use them to nourish us and to honour Jesus. Together we take the bread, giving thanks for the loving sacrifice Jesus Christ made for us. Jesus, we thank you and remember you as we eat this bread. We take wine, giving thanks for Jesus' death, for the forgiveness of our sin. Jesus, we thank you and remember you as we drink this wine. Let us pray. Lord God, we cannot fully understand what happens as we remember Jesus in the sharing of bread and wine. But we know that something does happen because we sense it. We sense your peace, your shalom. We sense a cleansing and a forgiveness. We sense a being drawn closer into fellowship with you and with one another. We thank you for the mystery that is communion. That this is indeed a holy sacrament. Lord God, we thank you that we can know forgiveness. We thank you that we can know hope, even in the darkest times of life. We come in thankfulness, seeking your hope for the hopeless, your strength for the weak and the frail, your direction for the lost, your peace for those who are anxious, companionship for the lonely, calmness for the angry, and light in the darkness. Lord Jesus, may your light shine brightly within each one of us, that we rely fully on you and not on ourselves. Be glorified in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, although we can't hug and kiss or do whatever we might want to do, we can share peace with one another. The images are there to help you see what to do with your hands. So we begin. Peace be with you. And it can also be shared. You might like to do it this way. Peace be with you. May peace be with us all. Amen. We've been thinking about hope and where our hope is grounded. Our hope is built on Jesus Christ. Let's praise him as we sing together. Let's share a prayer, a blessing for one another. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and evermore. Amen.